Good morning and welcome. It is time now for our community connection, and I have with me our district attorney, Mr. Buchanan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Well, it's a great pleasure to have you in here today. And when it comes to being the DA, that's a big job, and a lot of people have an idea of what it is that you do, but can you explain to us just a little bit more than just the surface of what it is your job entails?
Yes. We do a lot of things that people don't realize. Mm-hmm. We are truly the county's law firm. So first of all, my office encompasses both Washington and Nowata County. We're called District 11.
Mm-hmm.
And our job is to do the one thing that most people think we do, and that's prosecute cases where an arrest has been made by the sheriff's office, highway patrol, police department. But we do a lot of other things. We handle juvenile cases, mm-hmm. so both juvenile deprived cases, juvenile delinquent cases, so that's people under 18 committing crimes. We advise county officials on legal matters that they have questions about, so mm-hmm. it could be anything from county finance issues to buying or selling county property, mm-hmm. Any number of things that the county has a legal question on, it's our obligation to advise them of the law, run a mental health court along with our Judge Thomas and a team of people here. We run a drug court along with Judge Vaclaw and another team of people. And so we do a lot of things other than just prosecute criminal cases.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a all-encompassing job.
Now, I understand that when it comes to how your office is funded and courts are funded and things like that, there has been a couple of different ways that people want to perhaps look at how it's funded these days. I understand there's a push to move away a little bit from the system that's already in place where the criminals, paying court costs, fees, fines, everything else, at this point in time, that maybe they're searching for other avenues of funding. I know funding is necessary, but what are we looking at here as far as this petition?
Well, a little bit of background. So
yeah,
this is my ninth year.
Uh-huh.
Elected in 2010, started in January of 11.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, first of all, the legislature appropriates some portion of the money that we have to run my office. That money is given to the entire state system of district attorneys, and then we divvy that money up amongst the DAs. The rest of our money, historically, up until this year, up until July 1, has been our DA supervision. So people, instead of going to jail, we supervise them and make sure that they're doing the things that they're supposed to do and not doing bad things.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not supervising them, a fee was implemented 6 years ago or so. Whether you're supervised or not, you're still going to pay a $40 a month fee.
Mm-hmm.
We had the bogus check program. Where instead of a criminal case being filed, we would handle for local merchants collection of bad checks. We got a fee for that. A number of avenues that we could raise money to run the office because the legislature historically, up until this year, provided less than 45% of the funds mm-hmm. to run our offices.
Oh, boy.
So the state was paying roughly 45%. The people committing crimes were paying that other 55%. The problem is that we kept adding on what the defendants were going to support.
Okay.
Things like paying for the equipment in the State Bureau of Investigation Laboratory, paying a fee that goes some money that would go to the medical examiner's office, paying money that would go to a variety of a law enforcement retirement fund.
Mm-hmm.
So it began to grow and grow and grow to the point that the fees on the back of the defendants is just too great. I mean, particularly if you're a convicted felon, that inhibits your ability to go out and get the best jobs. Mm-hmm. So they're not making the most money, but we were putting the most of the burden on their backs to support the DAs, the court system. All money goes to the courts as well as mm-hmm. a part of this system. So there is a push to reduce that.
Okay.
This fiscal year, beginning July 1, the legislature, they asked the district attorney's system, how much money are you all collecting from defendants on supervision and this other, we call it the pay-to-play fee. We told them that amount. They then appropriated that amount to us. It was almost $20 million statewide. And then we gave them the, or are giving them the money from supervision and the what I call the pay-to-play fee. Mm-hmm. So in essence, what they did is they gave us a dollar and took four quarters in return. The problem with that is, first of all, it didn't alleviate any of the burden on the defendants. It did stabilize our funds. We don't have monthly up and down, good months, bad months, collection-wise. Mm-hmm. But all it did was stabilize us after 9 years of financial decline. Mm-hmm. So at 9 year low level, we're now stabilized. Mm-hmm. We didn't get any new money. Actually, I think that's wrong. I think they gave us $1 million to split up between the 27 of us. So we are stabilized at 9 years of financial decline. I'm down two employees in my office. There's just a number of things financially we can't do. My equipment's antiquated. There are obligations I'm supposed to be meeting mm-hmm. that financially I don't have the equipment and the manpower to do. So the legislature has a difficult job. How do they alleviate from the backs of defendants paying this, what was for the DA's $20 million last year? How do they come up with that money and alleviate that burden on the backs of the defendants?
Wow, that is quite the problem. And boy, I understand that we also have some petitions looking into a form of criminal justice reform. Now, I was surprised when we spoke earlier that if a person tries to choke somebody, that might not necessarily be a violent crime?
Right, so...
Under statute?
You may have seen within the last month, the criminal justice reform groups mm-hmm. came up with yet another initiative petition. That's how we came to adopt medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. That's how we came to adopt what we call question 780, where we reduced all drugs to possession to misdemeanors, all theft crimes under $1,000 to misdemeanors. Both of those provisions came from an initiative petition.
Hmm.
The criminal justice reform folks announced about a month ago that they have a new one. This one is going to be question 805 if it makes it to the ballot ever. Mm-hmm. The gist of it is that they don't want prosecutors to be able to use a previous nonviolent felony against somebody who's committed a new felony to enhance their punishment. So what we currently have now is if you've committed a prior felony, that can increase the potential punishment that you suffer if you commit another felony. Now, one limitation on that is it has to be within 10 years. So if you've committed a felony back in 1995 and mm-hmm. got a three-year sentence, and now you commit a felony today, I can't go back and use that 1995 felony because it's more than 10 years old.
I see.
But if you are committing felonies within the 10-year period,
yeah.
then mm-hmm. I have the ability, I have the discretion to utilize that to enhance your potential punishment.
Mm.
The view of the criminal justice reformers is this is why people are staying in prison longer, is because we are elongating their sentences with their past. So the specific instance I gave you, mm-hmm. so to be clear, they're not proposing that this apply to any violent felony. So murder, rape, the big ones that we talk, child sexual abuse, those kinds of cases. There is a specific list mm-hmm. of felonies that are identified as violent. They want this to apply to all the felonies not on that list. So to give you a specific example, domestic assault and battery by strangulation is a felony, but it is not on the list of violent felonies. So under this proposal, if you commit domestic assault and battery by strangulation, then you're convicted. Let's say we put you on probation and give you some really strict probation rules, and next year you commit another one. Under this proposal, we would pretend this was still your first time. And if you did that 5 years from now when you got out of prison on the second one, we would again pretend that it was your first one again. They also, as a part of this initiative petition, want to add that anyone who is currently incarcerated, whose sentence was enhanced or elongated by a nonviolent felony from their past, they would have the right to come to court and ask the court to reduce their sentence to what it would be as if it was only their first time ever. So Governor Stitt came out Wednesday in opposition to this initiative petition, 805. We think it's a horrible idea. It just makes common sense, and I think even as parents raising children, we deal with our kids when they do something wrong the first time. We try to explain to them why it's wrong. Maybe there's punishment involved in some fashion, but we make them aware what you did was wrong. When they do it again, then punishment probably changes. You know, now the grounding time's longer. The you don't get your phone is longer. The you don't get to go hang out with your buddies is longer. So it just is common sense that when you are repeating bad behavior, we take into consideration what we're going to do about that because you keep repeating it. And under this ballot initiative 805, their position is we want to stop that. We want people to be able to commit crimes, nonviolent felonies, as many times as they want and not take into consideration their history.
Wow. Wow. This is amazing. I tell you what, our time is just about gone for today, Mr. Buchanan, but I tell you, this has been a fascinating interview, and I think we've all learned a lot today, and look forward to having you back sometime here in the future.
Would you? Would-